the Lord God may now speak to his people. Let us open our Bibles together to Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We are again in chapter 4 this Lord's Day. Ephesians chapter 4. Here in the middle of the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesian church, you remember that the Apostle has exhorted us in verse 17 that as Christians, we can no longer live as the pagans live. The Apostle has shown us in verses 18 and 19, spiritually and morally, there is the greatest possible difference between us and them, between the Christians and the pagans who live around them. In verse 20 and 21, the Apostle has asked us rather pointedly, you are Christians, aren't you? There is some real substance behind your profession of faith in that you do know the Lord and have been saved by him, right? And we have said, yes, Paul, certainly. There is something real in our profession. So now, this morning in verse 22, the Apostle Paul says to us very well, this then, Christians, is what I would have you to do. Put off the old man. Now, what does that mean? Well, allow me to illustrate the point by telling a story from my own life. It's about 13 years ago now that I became a true convert to the Christian religion. And as a broken sinner before the cross of Jesus Christ, I surrendered unto him as Savior and Lord, and therein was saved. And in those early days, being quite new to all this and full of the Holy Spirit, there I was with my nose in the Bible all the time. And it was one day that I was reading in the book of Deuteronomy. It was the 7th chapter, I remember. And there I read that there are certain things that the pagans in this world use to worship their gods. And that the worshippers of the true God, the living God, ought not to have those things in their homes. It's right there in Deuteronomy chapter 7. It says very clearly that those things, the things that the pagans use to worship their gods, are an abomination. And if we have them hanging around, those things will lead us and our children back again into the worship of the pagan gods. And at that point, I looked up and across the room, I saw my old television. And I thought to myself, what is a television really? And the answer that came to me is, in this modern world, it is a thing, and I would say one of the principal things, by which, the pagans worship their gods. And I knew that very well, because as a pagan, it was probably the principal means by which I worshipped my gods. And so, I picked up the phone and I called the cable company. And I said to them, hi, this is Jeff Morgan at 2565 Cedar Way. I'm done with this. Turn it off. And they, of course, offered me a discounted rate. And I said, no, you don't understand. I'm done. Turn it off. I don't want it in my house. But they didn't turn it off. They stopped sending bills, but they left it hooked up to the house. And so I went and I got first a pair of pruning shears. And I went out with the cable that connects to the house. I was very zealous in those days. And I reached out and snipped right through the line that led from the world into my living room. And then I went and I grabbed the television, which again was an old television. It was the one that had been in my room when I was a teenager and it had gone with me to college. There's a lot of history with this television. And I put it in the back of my pickup truck. And I drove to the Walton County dump here in Monroe. And when I backed my truck up to the dump, I stood in the bed of my truck and I picked up that old television. And I thrust it from myself. And when it hit the pavement and it exploded and shattered into a million irredeemable pieces, I was filled with a profound sense of satisfaction and of joy, knowing that in and by this, what I was saying to myself and what I was saying to whoever was watching in the world about me, before this God before whom I would now live my life, I was saying, I am a Christian, and therefore I am no longer a pagan. I do not worship these gods. I do not want this thing in my house. I am done. With the Apostle Paul, he's exhorting you to do today, Christians, if you have not done so already, is put off the old man. Let me now ask you to please stand with me once again that we might receive the word of our God. The text is Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to begin at verse 17 and read all the way through verse 24. We're focusing particularly today on verse 22. The Apostle Paul writes, beginning in verse 17, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O Lord God, the power in preaching is not in the eloquence of words, but it is in the manifestation of the Spirit. And so we pray, Lord God, as this sublime, holy and authoritative truth is proclaimed today, that your Spirit would come and men would find it to be exceedingly powerful. That they'd not be able to escape it, Lord God, with excuses and justifications and delays, but they would find themselves this day being called to do something radical, something decisive, in hearing that as Christians, it's time for them to put off the old man. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who has come to save us. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So again, we are looking together today, particularly at verse 22 here in chapter 4. And the first word that I want you to notice there in verse 22 is the word "you." A word in the Greek, second person plural pronouns. This speaks not to an individual, but to a group of people. And what group of people is it to whom the apostle is speaking? He's speaking unto the true converts unto Christ and the Christian faith. As he says there in verse 21, those who have heard Christ, who have learned Christ, that the truth is in Christ. So we're speaking of those who who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as he is revealed in the gospel, and in believing in him have received him, received his blood as the atonement for their sin, received his spirit, and therein new life in him. We're speaking of those who truly have been saved. And this is an important point as we consider what Paul is telling us to do today, that this is something that we are called to do not in order that we might be saved, but it is something that we are called to do because we have been saved. Thus he is speaking to those who have been saved. The other important point is this, that if you have not been saved, if you're not a true convert to Christianity, if there's no real substance behind your profession, then understand that the Apostle Paul is not talking to you today. He's talking right past you. And the reason that he's talking right past you is because in the state in which you now are, you could not possibly do what the Apostle is telling you to do. So there's something that you need to do first, which is this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as he is revealed in the gospel. Receive him as your Savior and Lord. And therein be saved. And then Paul will be talking to you. What is it that Paul tells the true converts to do? Again in verse 22, his words are put off. That's the verb, put off. Apophasthai in the Greek. And this is a word which actually potentially has considerable more force than merely put off. It could also mean throw off, cast off, be done with this thing that we are talking about today. So the word suggests to us a conscious, definitive rejection of a thing. Let me emphasize those three points. Speaking here, we talk about putting something off. We're talking about something which is conscious, not something which just happens while you're thinking about something else. But we're talking about something which begins in your own mind, as your mind changes, as you make an actual decision to do what Paul is telling us here to do. It is conscious and it is definitive. Cast it off. We're talking about doing something not temporary, not half-heartedly, but taking a step which is final and irrevocable. When I called up the cable company, told them to turn off the signal, and they didn't do it, that wasn't good enough for me. Why? Because I knew sooner or later somebody was going to come along again and turn on the television, and it was probably going to be me. And I didn't want that. I wanted something more definitive. So I took the television in my hands and I smashed it into pieces. And I said, there, now try to turn it on. Okay? Final, definitive. That's what we're talking about here. This is the way that God, back in Deuteronomy chapter 7, taught his people to deal with the altars, the idols of the pagans that were there in the land of Canaan. They weren't to keep them as keepsakes, have them laying around, but they were to grind them to powder. They were to break them down and burn them unto ash so that they were utterly obliterated and could not trouble us anymore. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about putting off. It's conscious, it's definitive, and lastly, it is rejection of the thing. So we're rendering a judgment that this thing, whatever it is that we're talking about, is not worth having. We don't want it anymore. We don't want it in our lives anymore. We don't want to have to carry it around anymore. So we're throwing it off the side. Conscious, definitive rejection of the thing. That's what you're being called to do today in the Word of God. And what is that thing? Again in verse 22, Paul's words are concerning your former conduct, the old man. Concerning your former conduct, the old man. Literally, according to the former way of life, the former man or the former self. Put it off. Put it off. As you think about that with me today, notice first of all that there is an acknowledgement here, isn't there? That formerly I walked in the ways of paganism. I did not walk in uprightness of heart as a godly man in this world, but I walked in depravity of heart as an ungodly man in this world. I walked after the course of this world, which according to Paul in chapter 2, is to walk after the prince of the power of the air, and was by nature a child of wrath and son of disobedience. How did I live formerly? I'm saying I lived as the pagans lived. And what did that make me then? We're acknowledging here, it made me a pagan. It made me a pagan. I was one of them. Even as Paul says again in chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, that I myself was by nature a child of wrath, just as all the rest. And that's why I lived as they lived. We don't deny that. We haven't always been where we are today. We have been pagans. We acknowledge that. But acknowledging it, we're not dwelling on it. The poison that we acknowledge it is in order that we might get our hands upon it. And getting our hands upon it, like a conscious, definitive rejection of it. Rejecting the former way of life, the way we used to think, and the way we used to live, because it is the way of paganism. And with that, rejecting who we used to be. Our very identity as human beings in this world, because we were pagans. And what this amounts to then, brothers and sisters, is a sort of gospel reckoning. Well, what I am saying is as I'm hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ about what it says has now happened to me as I have believed in Him, so I am understand that I am a redeemed man in Jesus Christ, and therefore that man who I was is not who I am now, and therefore that way that I live will not be how I will live now. That's a gospel reckoning. The gospel is true. That's what Paul is saying in this verse. And why are we rejecting paganism? And why are we rejecting myself as a pagan before? And the answer that Paul gives is because that old man was growing corrupt. The word here is a little bit broader than that. It speaks of the old man being corrupted, being ruined, being destroyed. We're making a judgment here about the old man, about the pagan that I was and the paganism in which I walked. And what we're saying here is that that way of life and that person that I was, it's a disgraceful and it is a dangerous way to live. And it is a dangerous and disgraceful person to be, to follow the old man's way of life. So what we're seeing here is the Christian sort of waking up to the horror of paganism. As I think about what I was, and I think about how I lived, I go back to chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and I say, it is just as Paul says, in those days, I was not alive, I was dead in my sins. And being dead in my sins, there I was, just falling in the broad way after the course of this world, doing what everybody else around me was doing. And we were all following after the prince of the power of the air. And we're by nature children of wrath and sons of disobedience. I was right there with all the rest of them. And there in looking to see who I was in those days and looking to my soul, I see that I was this very man that the Apostle Paul describes in chapter 4, verses 18 through 19. That my mind, my understanding was darkened in those days. It was futile, alienated from the life of God, a state of godlessness. And there was this profound ignorance in me of the most important things because of this blindness, this enslavement to heart that I was under. And I was past feeling in those days, and so I had given myself over to lewdness, to work all greediness and uncleanness. That was me. And it's horrible to think about who I was then, and the way that I live. And therefore, I'm putting it off. Casting it from me. Consciously, definitive rejection of the old man, and noticed here, therein not giving up something that I love, but casting off something that I now abhor, because I see that it was death. This is not Lot's wife looking longingly over her shoulder at Sodom and Gomorrah. But this is a joyful casting off the old man. Because I'm not him anymore. And I am done with that. And what was it that was going on with the old man according to the Apostle Paul? He says here in verse 22 that he was growing corrupt. He was being ruined, destroyed according to the deceitful lust. Kata tas epithumias tes apates. Literally, according to the passions of deceit. According to the passions of deception. So what we're being told here, what we're understanding about the pagan and thus of our former selves, is that in those days we were not ruled by reason. But we were ruled by the most base, degrading passion. Lusts, we would call them. Lust for sin, lust for blasphemy, lust for uncleanness. That's what drove me in those days. And we see here that those passions were deceitful and that they were luring us into this life by appealing to self-interest, but really what they were luring us into was self-destruction. So that the old man was under a sort of spell, a dark enchantment. What's being declared here in verse 22 for the Christian is the breaking of that spell. The power of Jesus Christ to deliver him from that state of death in which he so long dwelt. That the new man, the true convert, the Christian being united unto Christ in his death and his resurrection, by virtue of that death and resurrection, should no longer be ruled by his passions, but should be put in his right mind again, having seen the light of truth, that he might therein walk in truth. And that he would no longer be deceived anymore by sin and the lies of the wicked one in this world. That he would have gained a new wisdom, and so walk in truth. And in this way, what we have here is the man casting off the old man is doing so because he is a man who has received a new liberty, a new dignity, as a whole new man in Jesus Christ. He came today in large part to hear the word of God, to sit under the preaching of the word, and to hear what God would say to you through this ordinance by which His Spirit speaks. What is He saying to you today? Christian, if you have not, put off the old man. Now, how should we receive that? Well, the question that I asked myself this week as I was looking at this text is verse 22 law or is it gospel? As a minister, I've been taught to think in those terms. Either it's law, it's gospel. It's an important distinction because we use law and gospel differently. And they can't be confused. So is verse 22, is this law or is this gospel? And many people would say, well, it's law. Because it's telling us to do something. And as you think about that, doesn't the gospel tell us to do something? Doesn't the gospel, as it is preached in the scriptures, doesn't the gospel tell us to, as it reveals Christ unto us, to repent of our sins and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him and take up our cross and follow Him? Doesn't the gospel tell us to do something? So that certainly doesn't settle the issue. And when I listen to verse 22 and I hear Paul saying, do this, put off the old man, I hear not only a command, do this, but I hear a gospel promise to the Christian, which is that you can do this. You can put off the old man. The Apostle Paul said to the Romans, chapter 6, verse 11, "Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Reckon it to be true. What is that reckoning if it is not believing the promise of the gospel? And how can it be a meaningful reckoning without that step which declares it to be so? I have been redeemed. I have been delivered from the state of death and brought into the state of life and light in Jesus Christ my Lord. And I am a new man. What am I doing carrying around this old man? I am not him anymore. I do not have to walk in his ways anymore, in the degradation of it, in the bondage of it. And the scriptures are here telling me, on the basis of the gospel, preaching the gospel to me, cast him off then, Christian. So how then should we receive this command? I say with gospel joy. The difference between gospel and law is not that the gospel tells you to do. The law tells you to do something the gospel doesn't. But the law, in and of itself, is bad news for sinners. Whereas the gospel is good news for sinners. In verse 22, it's good news for sinners. I couldn't cast off the old man and my former self before I knew Christ, because I was the old man. I could no more cast off the old man than I could cast off myself. I could no more extract the old man than I could extract my own soul. And so the only way for me to be delivered from the old man and the old way of life is for me to be born again. And that is indeed what has happened. When I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and became a true convert. Therefore, putting off the old man is something which is to be done with gospel joy, which you understand is not just a sort of light-hearted joy. But it's the most profound, grave sort of joy. It's a sort of joy that doesn't issue merely in a giggle, but in a full-throated cry arising from the soul that has been set free from the bondage of sin, its guilt and its power. One of the things that we see throughout history in our world is that when a people have been oppressed by some tyrant, some despot, for many, many years, sometimes for many, many generations, and they finally are enabled to rise up and get their hands on him and bring him down and put him to death, that in their celebration of their liberty, one of the things that they feel ought to take place in the midst of all the rejoicing is that that tyrant's body ought to be brought down in the street and he ought to be dragged through the streets of the very land over which he reigned in terror. Is that a light-hearted sort of joy? No, but it's joy. It's far more joy than you can ever feel watching Comedy Central. I'm talking about real joy. The joy of a man set free. The joy of a man who's always been in darkness, who at last sees the light. The joy of a man whose life has been one of shame and degradation and perversion from top to bottom. And now the blood of Christ has come and washed him clean of all that he might be made a saint. A child of God by adoption. To enter into the joys of heaven forevermore. I'm talking about that joy. When I took that television in my hands, standing in the bed of my truck, and I cast it from me and watched it smash into a million pieces, that was a man who felt that he had become a man again in Jesus Christ. A man who had been liberated from that which was depriving him of his manhood. So you understand, that Paul's not asking you to do something hard today. He's asking you to do something easy. Something that ought to come most naturally to you. To take the old man from which you have been delivered, that tyrant, take him by the throat and cast him off. Which you can do now, Christian. If you are a Christian. Indeed. By the way, I know I'm going to get asked this question, so I'm going to go ahead and answer it. Am I saying that you have to smash your television? Is that what I'm saying? You're going to say to me, Aren't there some decent programs on television that would be consistent with the Christian life? And I admit there are. There are. So I'm not necessarily saying that you have to smash your television. The television is not the old man. But for me anyways, that television, particularly being the old television, television that I had had in college, the television that I had had in my room in high school, the television before whose glow I had devoted a considerable portion of my life doing that which I now recognize was worshipping the gods of the pagans. That television seemed to be, it was clear to me, was, if anything, was the symbol of my former self. It wasn't just the altar where the pagans worshipped their gods, it was the altar where I, as a pagan, worshipped my gods. And therefore, for me, it was a fitting symbol of casting off the old man. So what is yours? Maybe it is your television, maybe it's something else. I don't really care. Cast it off. The other thing that I realized about television is that it wasn't something that I could control. There may be decent programs on television, and yet there's this flipping through the channels, going through 99 channels to get to the one, to see if there's anything worth watching on now. And then there's the commercials, and you never know what's going to get thrown on you in the commercials. And so I looked at it, I knew it, I knew how television worked. I said, I can't control this. And so I took control the only way that I knew how. Smashed it. If you feel like that's something that you ought to do, for the sake of your own soul, for the sake of your children, then I rejoice with you in it. By all means, smash the sucker into a million pieces. I can't hardly think of anything that I, as your pastor, would rather see you do. The question here, though, the more important question is, not will you throw your television down at the dump, but will you put off the old man, which is a far more fundamental and substantial undertaking. This that we're being called to, if you go back and read Deuteronomy chapter 7, what we're talking about here and what I understand 13 years ago, is that this is holy war. This is holy war. The Muslims, the jihadists, strap a bomb to their chest and blow themselves up in holy war. Whereas the Christian people stand in the beds of their trucks and take their old television and smash them into a million pieces. That's our holy war. And the question is, are you in or are you out? Are you serious or you're not serious? Are you ready to fight so as to win? Or have you accepted you're going to continue to live with the old man? To continue to walk in your former ways and be your former self, and that there's nothing you can do about it? Then you're not believing the gospel. You're not believing the gospel. Jesus said, if your eye causes you to offend, pluck it out. If your hand causes you to offend, chop it off. Holy war. We fight so as to win. That's the teaching of the scripture, both old and new. And so I want to say to you that if you recognize that you are in fact still carrying around the old man, you still got sympathy for him, you still hope that you can be friends somehow in this new Christian life, then you are at best, a disgrace as a Christian. You ought not be carrying him around. You ought not be holding on to the old man, the pagan ways, when you've been delivered from it. You insult the grace of your Lord. You demean the glory of what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross. To continue to walk in the broad way. Been delivered from that, to walk in a narrow way that leads to glory. And at very worst, if you are carrying around the old man still, then there's a possibility that you're not a Christian at all. Because that happens too. When do we become suspicious that a Christian who professes faith in Christ is not a Christian indeed? When they live like pagans. And so I ask you to consider that. Well, what then? If you are unsaved, if you're a disgrace as a Christian, if what Paul tells you to do here, you've never truly done, then let me give you something to believe. The God who gave us life, looking upon our fallen world and our miserable ways as sinners, has been moved to be merciful to us. And in His mercies to us, He has sent His own Son into the world, that He, being fully God and fully man, should walk among us to reveal Himself unto us, to teach us, to heal us, and at last to ascend the hill of Calvary, and there to offer up His own sinless and infinitely valuable life on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin, that we might be forgiven as we believe in Him, be delivered from its guilt and its bondage, and be made new people in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking here about being saved from the guilt and from the spell of sin, under which the unconverted are held. This is the gospel. This is the message. This is the good news that goes forth now into all the world and is being preached unto you. And I call you this day to believe it, to believe here. The gospel says unto you, the Christian, cast off the old man, because you can cast off the old man. Reckon it to be true, and make it a real reckoning by taking that step that says, I am done with my former ways and my former self. Shall we pray? Lord, we read in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, the high priestly prayer of Christ, that our Lord prayed that we, His people, would remain in this world. And we accept that, Lord God. Though we have been delivered from sin, its guilt, its power, that we've been made new in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we must live among you. And therein, Lord, it is necessary for us to be watchful. It is necessary for us to engage in a spiritual warfare in our own souls, in our homes, in our churches, and in our contact with this world. And if we have one problem, Lord, we confess that it is we do not take this most seriously enough. So, Lord God, we pray today by power which I do not possess, by power, Lord, which only your Spirit can impart unto the souls of men, that what has been heard today would be very clear and be very compelling. It would be like a drawing of a line in the sand. It would be like the difference between light and darkness, between black and white. That things would become exceedingly clear in a world full of confusion. And we would understand, Lord, as those who are called to believe in Jesus Christ and be saved, what it is that we are being called to do. We pray, Lord God, that you would give unto us this triumph over the former self and over the former ways, which is held forth to us in the Scriptures. We do not believe that such a thing cannot be, but that we hold on the authority of the Word of God that it can be, and that it must be, and that we're called to it. As we look into ourselves and see that we are not sufficient for such things, so let us look and see that Christ is our sufficiency, and let us believe in Him, in His blood and His Spirit to deliver us from these things. And grant us, Lord, to exercise our faith in laying hold on this, and give us, O God, that great day wherein the old man is cast off. If there be any here who are still under that bondage, who still wear that albatross around their neck, we pray, Lord God, deliver them from it this day, and we will rejoice before you. We thank you, Lord God, for the wisdom of your word, which makes foolishness the wisdom of our age. We pray, Lord God, help us to believe it, and believing it, be strong
salvation, standing upon the rock of Christ our Savior. As we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Brethren, as we prepare now to come and meet our Lord at the sacrament of the Lord's table, let us turn our hymnals now to hymn number 585 and stand together as we sing the hymn, "Take My Life and Let It Be." Please rise.